Attention, everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on furniture and bedding, cookware and holiday decor, and tons more. Now's the time to score big on finds to feast, get festive, and get comfortable all season long. Plus, enjoy fast and easy shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-fits-all branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code pod20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code pod20 for 20% off your first product.
Off the ball.
I was enjoying the heat chat just a second ago. I managed to catch that. It's one of my top five. So that brightened my morning a little bit.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
You're welcome back. Now, if you're not aware, Off the Ball Breakfast have this brilliant slot called You Had to Be There, where they get sports people, non-sports people to come on the show and talk about their top five most memorable sports moments in their lives, either as a spectator or as a player. They've had the likes of Arda O'Hanlon on, they've had the likes of Pat Short on. Conor Sketches was on one time, delivered one of the most amazing episodes of all time. All of these podcasts are available to listen right now on the OTB Sports app or wherever you get our podcasts. And we've got a very special guest for you this week, and we're bringing you You Had to Be There on the evening show for once, because this week the guest is Paul Mescal.
Right, you are very welcome to Croke Park. I'm here with Paul Mescal, star of Gladiator 2. You're on a big screen and second big screen in the Coliseum with Pedro Pascal. Yeah. This is all a bit mental, isn't it?
This is where when you come into Croke Park, you see the lineup and you see the Irish flag when the Aaron Levine is playing, and now it's my big old head up on the Hill 16. It's pretty cool.
What have the last couple of days been like?
It's been amazing. Yeah. Like, it's definitely been the highlight of the tour so far, and it'll be hard bet, yeah. I think, to be honest. It's been really, really special. Like, I've had lots of family around, and it sounds like romantic, but there is something about taking any film home, but a film of this size is amazing.
So we did a slot on the show called You Had to Be There.
You Had to Be There.
Get people to recount their favourite sports memories, either as a participant or as a spectator. You've done a good bit of both during your life. And we generally go for five, but I mean, there's an open list for you.
Yeah.
If we had to ask for your first moment on a You Had to Be There as a spectator or as a participant, where would you want to bring us?
My first ever one.
Hmm. Or the one that comes to mind
first. The one that comes to mind first was the 2009 Grand Slam. I wasn't there, but I remember we watched it in... Because the country went... It went absolutely... I remember watching it in Minucci AA Club. And I was... Well, I was 13. And the place was absolutely packed. And when O'Gara put it through, I was just... The place went... And then waiting for Stephen Jones...
When
he had the kick from the halfway line, and then it just dropping into that was a big day.
Was rugby a big part of your
rugby? Up until a point it was, because I got into Gaelic football actually very late. I was like, hurling and rugby were the main things, and then being from Kildare, hurling's kind of it's a tricky thing to kind of keep up. So I got into Gaelic football at 13 and played Féile. And then the competition of football in Kildare was just more competitive. And then at kind of 15, 16, I had to make a choice between Gaelic football and rugby, but I absolutely love both.
Where do you play in rugby? Or where did you play?
I used to play out half or first centre. And then, I wasn't so much a kicking out half.
Right.
But that's the corner back in me. So I just run the ball a good bit from out half.
Yeah. So that's the fun part.
Yeah, that's
really
the
no
fun
pressure.
Part. Yeah. None of that kick and shite.
You say the cornerback in you. Were you not a centre-back in football?
I was cornerback and centre-back. Like, right. Cornerback when I was playing up, and then at my... to be fair, I was mostly a centre-back. But
right.
They'd stick me in on people in corner forward, like a Cormac Costello or a Conor Callaghan like that. Nightmare.
I can imagine.
Absolute nightmare, yeah.
Would that feature on your list at all? The couple of encounters that you would have had against that Dublin team, or are we forgetting those?
No, there's two moments for me that like we had that age group of players, like underage football player. We actually were very, very competitive with that Dublin team, like the Brian Howard and Conor Callaghan and Cormac Costello. That year we played them in, we actually beat the Dubs in Parnell Park in the minor semi-final, which was, that's going to be hard, but even that would almost nearly trump. We won a Leinster minor title here in 2014. Thank you. 2014. But we played like a boiling hot day in Parnell Park, and we just, you know, everything just, we just played extraordinarily well, and to beat the Dubs in their home ground was pretty special. And then we went on to win the Leinster and then got knocked out by Roscommon in the All-Ireland quarterfinal.
Right.
Devastating.
Really?
No, that sticks. That's forever going to be... We just didn't show up.
Really?
We just did not. We were just... You know that feeling when you're playing and you're like, everybody just retreated. And I'll never forget it. I remember being like, all of these amazing footballers that I played with, we were just kind of invisible to each other for the 60 minutes and... Sore still, yeah. I don't know what it was. I think it was just the fact that we hadn't won a Leinster title in a long time and we'd beaten the Dubs, and maybe there was a psychological thing of going like, that was the victory of some sorts. And it just, that I think there's a part of me that feels like we left an All-Ireland on the table that year, like to go into Parnell Park and win and get a first Leinster title in, I think, something like 50 years or something like that. And then, yeah, but that year it was full of extraordinary memories, like the both on the positive and negative side. And then the following year, to captain the minor team here and lose to Dublin, but we lost against a very, very good Dublin side. Yeah,
because we always talk to sports people and they always make the same remark that the losses are things that they remember more than the victories. And I know that you're probably going to be asked, and you have been asked a lot about like parallels between performing on the pitch, performing on screen. Yeah. What about heartbreak in your industry? It doesn't seem... It seems that it's quite...
That's a great question, yeah.
It seems quite unique to sport.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
It's not the same. I don't know why that is, but I think with sport, and say you're auditioning for a role, the level of investment is totally different, because your investment in sports requires months and months and months of running figure eights in the winter. And when you're auditioning for a role, you're spending a lot of considered time, but it's 2-3 weeks, say, max, if you're preparing for an audition. That can be really sore to take, but another audition will come in the next week or 2 weeks, whereas the championship is building up to like 60 minutes in May, June, and you're thinking about it from November. It's sore. It's
And it's minor. You don't get that season back.
And I knew kind of when I was getting into drama school that I kind of been brought into the senior panel setup, but I knew that for like the kind of pre-season of one season, and I was like, as much as I would love to give this a crack, the two worlds don't line up, unfortunately. Well, not unfortunately, because I think
done all right.
Yeah. But I would love to have at a certain point played senior football for my county. I got to play senior football for my club, but you've got to weigh up. They just don't line up, unfortunately.
The latter of those two things surely isn't a fanciful thing to think about at some stage. It's 40-something-year-old playing club football.
I'm smoking too much. I'd have to get myself into good nick.
Junior B then.
Junior B, yeah. Go out and throw myself around. Yeah.
Have you felt that acute sense of heartbreak in your career yet as an actor? that you would you felt that day here?
No.
No,
I haven't felt that. But again, I felt definitely like I haven't got things that I wanted. But the mental setup is just it's different.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we've got 09.
You've
got 2014.
Got 2014.
Is there anything else that comes to mind for moments that you simply had to be there?
The World Cup quarterfinal this year.
You were there in Paris?
I was there in Paris with my brother. I'm going tonight. I'm watching
the
site tonight. But I feel like if we lose tonight, I'll never go to an Ireland-New Zealand match again because that'll be a bad omen. But that was truly heartbreaking.
Wasn't it?
That was absolutely... We went to... The Cartier box in Paris, so it was like really like a beautiful like setup and like really well looked after, but that kind of goes out the window once the match starts. And I remember saying to my brother, I was like, look Donica, we have to be well behaved here. And then I was the person like cursing and roaring, and there was like videos taken of me at the match like trying to be like in a work mindset, but just literally I felt like I'd been hit by a bus. Like me and my brother sat in the car coming back in Paris, and we were like, you know, you're like with your brother in Paris, but we didn't speak for an hour. And I think there's, you know what's great now though, is that I do think there's a little bit of bad blood between the Irish and the New Zealand team, which is actually a great, I don't know, I think it's a testament to where that team has come to, where there's like, you only really hate the people that you admire. In a sporting context anyway. So like to have that tonight, I feel like we're in for a good game of rugby. That was one of those ones that you have to be there. But were you at that one?
I was. It was devastating. Like I'm kind of the same as you. The GAA defeats as a Kerry man sting me the most.
I mean, yeah, but have a good few like victories. Like think about being a Kildare man. Like I remember going to the All-Ireland semi-final when we were beaten by Down.
That was a sickener for you.
That was an absolute sickener. But again, half the victory was getting to an All-Ireland semi-final.
Right.
The big sickener was Kildare losing Kieran McGeaney.
Literally just popped into my head.
That is the biggest...
How did that happen?
You can ask Kildare County Board about that, because I have no idea what in God's name happened. Well, I know it was the clubs.
Yeah.
It came up against McGeaney, and I think watching him, like I weirdly felt a massive sense of pride watching the Armagh footballers this year, where I was
really?
Like, yeah, because I think the amount of work that went in, like that's a 10-year plan, and Kildare had gotten about 5 years into it, like that was totally on the table with that. Like you saw how much the players bought into him, both in Armagh and also in Kildare, that I think losing the Ireland semi-final was a stepping stone. And I just think Kildare weren't ambitious enough to keep him on.
Yeah, it's the one that got away from a Kildare perspective for sure.
110%, yeah.
The only reason I bring up my perspective on the GAA is because it sometimes feels that the GAA hits home a little bit harder, especially on those
totally,
days that get away from us, except for last November, I felt, in Paris.
Yeah.
That was the one time that felt on a GAA level of loss.
Oh, it was huge. Well, we go mental as a country. I remember watching the Irish South African game in a hotel room in London, and I was watching it with someone she'd never watched rugby before in her entire life, and I was like, like, you know when you're like that game was just extraordinary.
It
was absolutely the most brutal game of rugby. And then when they turned the commentary off at the end to listen to the crowd singing Zombie,
yeah
it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. But I think we just get excited, which is a great thing. It's a great thing to like support any Irish team, because we totally get behind our teams. But sometimes I think that probably adds a huge amount of pressure. But I don't know if they feel that within the camp or outside of it. But yeah.
One last parallel to draw between that and maybe even 2014 was that last year, I think we were all kind of living vicariously through Johnny Sexton finally getting his one opportunity. And then in that moment, it was all gone. Rico, yeah, and
it's an amazing, like if you were a New Zealand, like I feel like it's the same comment that like when O'Mahony said it about Sam Kane.
Yeah,
we took great pride in
of course.
The fact that, like, we think it's class. But when somebody did it to Sexton, like I imagine as a New Zealander, you're like, I do think that there is something about though, like it's in the heat of battle, but there is also something about it that does feel like latently disrespectful.
Yeah.
To somebody who's like, regardless of whatever you think about Jonathan Sexton, he's one of the greatest out halves in the modern era. But I do like that it's contributed to a good bit of bad blood between the two teams.
There's a movie in that.
There's a movie in that. I played out half before. So I could do Sexton.
Any one last sporting memory you want to bring us, Paul, before we wrap up?
I wasn't at it, but the my dad's a Clare man, so the All Ireland final this year, the Clare Cork.
Yeah,
I wasn't at it, but that was a
unbelievable.
The hurling in the last like 5-6 years has just been, I think, on a different level to the football.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
Just one final question: how are you coping with all of this? How do you kind of put this into perspective for yourself? You come home to this massive fanfare, which I assume is quite warm.
This is a really warm version of like. I think I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
Like, I think the narrative in my head has changed from a kind of being like something that I remember like being quite open about it when normal people came out being like, I'm finding bits of it tough, and of course I find bits of this tough, but I've learned to I'm figuring out an avenue through it.
Good.
I think, which is good.
Good.
Thank God.
Attention, everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on furniture and bedding, cookware and holiday decor, and tons more. Now's the time to score big on finds to feast, get festive, and get comfortable all season long. Plus, enjoy fast and easy shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.